tack on to what Earl just said, we are at a moment of change in public health, and we're either going to be talking about the dinosaur that used to be public health and those bones over in the corner and who knows what it is now, or this truly transformed and reframed public health. And so I think the moment is now. I think the challenges ahead of us are great. I think the opportunities are there. So I see those as really the gist of the message, and I think it's always about systems and performance and the allied words with that, which are transparency and accountability. So what about, I'll be talking about is sort of a stream, a thread that runs so true in this work, and I'll look forward to your questions and comments at the end. The state of state public health and performance agenda, my bias is right there from the start. It's about what we do, not what we believe, not what we care about, you know, not what we think, but what we can articulate in terms of demonstrated product. And so that's not always easy to do in our business. I mean, we have this really wonderful marketing phrase, if nothing happens, we've done our job. Could we get more funding, please? So, trying to convert that into some kind of message that really makes a difference is important. But there's four things that are going on that I really think are appealing and challenging, and we should wrap our heads and hands around. The first is voluntary accreditation. It's on the horizon. I love Robert Wood Johnson's outcome measure for this, which you may not know, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's outcome measure. By 2014, 60% of the U.S. population will be served by an accredited state and local health agency. Now that's a real outcome measure. That's a real challenge to governmental public health. By 2014, are we going to embrace this voluntary accreditation opportunity and make that difference happen? The other is performance standards, which is quite linked to accreditation. In fact, they'll be defined through this accreditation process over the next 4 years, but we already have some good work in the tank, you know, in our repertoire. The National Public Health Performance Standards Program has done a lot of work around the 10 essential services to define what standards might look like, thinking from the systems perspective what that might be. So I think that's another backbone item. Portfolio management. This is this budding thing we don't really understand that well, but if you have a senior management official in your state who is a CDC high-level official assigned to your state, I think there's 12 of them now, their job is to help channel this communication, to sit on the state's executive team and channel this communication between the state and CDC in the interests of local interests as well as the state health department interests. And so we were fortunate in Ohio to have Bobby Erlewine as a senior management official for 2 years before I left. And that's a wonderful opportunity to get this voice of expertise and also this set of outside of the state health agency relationships with locals going. She spent a lot of time with those in order to try to align the system. So portfolio management, that's just one model of it, but its expansion model is incredibly appealing, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that. And then finally, the State Public Health Survey. ASTO's been around for 65 years, and you'd think we were the home of all information about state public health. Well, you'd be a little bit surprised about that. Anecdotally, we're expert at finding out what's going on, but for the first time, we've really undertaken this sort of major core survey, and if any of you are doing it, have my sympathy as well as my praise for taking on the challenge, but we're hopeful that that's going to help us with some of that information. So let's talk first about this accreditation model. IOM has driven this. Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and CDC have jointly funded this project that explored it and came to the conclusion, yes, we can do this. That had that goal of trying to get to a voluntary national model to define who the applicants are. You know, jurisdictionally defined governmental public health agencies. What are the benefits of accreditation? This idea of transparency, this idea where we can identify and celebrate for once what the good work of public health is in a very public way, in a very cataloged way, and then to really look at the gaps. You know, that's one of the benefits of accreditation, to say, look, this tapestry has a few holes in it, you know, and how can we patch this up? So those benefits have been identified, and now we're in the midst of our timeline. Fabulous. Public Health Accreditation Board, PHAB, or FAB, has been launched. And the timeline for its work, I want to just give it to you in a rough sense, was right now the committees are being formed to define the standards for state and local health agencies. The committees are being formed to talk about how one would even go about the process of applying. You know, what's that about? Irresponsible aspect of what the content of those standards might look like. And then even from the outset, what's the research and evaluation approach that's going to be used to say, what the heck does accreditation have to do with the health outcome? Can we actually make that connection? So right from the get-go, they've got some pretty good thinking about the work that they're doing. And so this next 18 months is the time to stay tuned and weigh in and blog in or whatever the opportunity might be to say, here's what I think a standard looks like, and this is the ones we ought to consider for state, local, public health. So once those get drafted in a certain sense, this would be our best case scenario in 18 months, they're going to be pilot tested, sort of beta tested in real health settings, you know, real health departments. That'll be a nice 18-month process to really actually go through the preparation for a site visit, have a mock site visit of sorts, and see how those things measure up. Then revise them a little bit, and then boom, in 2011, we're accepting applications. Now, that's the process. The question is, what are you doing today to get ready? What is happening on your plate to get ready? So ASTO supports accreditation, and I'm going to talk a little bit about getting ready. We have in our strategic plan, directly in the center of it, defining standards and measures for state public health agency accreditation. We want to be part of that dialogue. We want to see that formed. We want that to be comprehensive. One of the things that I am always struck by is there's some good work going on that we don't pay attention to sometimes, and one is maternal child health, which has a ton of measures already, a very high performance agenda, and some pretty clear standards in an entitlement program that's not going to change just because we have an accreditation board. So we would be wise to not duplicate and perhaps bring that thinking right into this dialogue. So that's one thing that I think ASTO will be calling attention to. And if you think of another example, if you're at a state health agency, and we hardly ever talk about this one, and that is a nursing home survey regulation. Almost every state health agency has this obligation. It's a contract to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and it's the linchpin to the Medicaid dollars coming into your state. And it's this burden that just sort of exists out there and crunches at its own agenda. But boy, talk about even more than an entitlement program. This is a contract, so its standards and measures are already defined. They're not going to change. So another wise move would be for us to not duplicate and bring that thinking in, and also to accurately reflect the scope of work of the state health agency. So I think this idea of what's the scope is really key to the standards discussion. The Public Health Accreditation Board, I see a friend here from NACHO. We've worked hand-in-hand with NACHO to set up this board, and it's been very exciting work. We're actually still the detailed staff to the board as they continue to hire their staff, so we're doing the forming of these committees and the behind-the-scenes work to try to get this stuff together. I think the ASTO's primary role here, as we shift out of this detailed relationship where we're detailed staff to the board and sort of step away one last time later in the spring, we'll be really driving into our agenda, how can we help states get ready? And so this is the thing that I want to mention. If you look at North Carolina's Public Health Institute, you'll see a roadmap for accreditation that's worked very well in North Carolina for its work in accreditation. Something like that is the kind of toolkit idea that we're thinking about with our partners across the board. How do you get ready? Are you doing strategic planning in your agency today? What does that process look like? Do you have a culture of performance around the work in the state health agency? Are there metrics? What are kind of the quality and scope of those metrics? Do you have fiscal metrics as well as programmatic metrics? Those are the kinds of things that we're thinking about in terms of this culture of change. Have you used the state tool for the assessment of your system for national performance standards? If I were preparing a portfolio to apply for accreditation, I'd want to have that system assessment done as part of my packet to say, here's what I know about where we stand in these 10 essential services. So those are examples of the ways we're supporting accreditation. But the bottom line is, now is the time to be thinking about getting ready and being ready so that you can apply in 4 years. So off we go. So accreditation is an extraordinary driver, and we're proud to be a part of it. So as I mentioned, there's this tool out there now that's already been developed, and now in version 2, just released this fall. It's a system assessment tool where you bring the partners together. It is a dialogue tool. You know, it's not a health outcome measure tool. It's a dialogue tool about how is the system structured and working. It is quality improvement oriented. You know, are the processes in place to provide these 10 essential services, and what's the extent of that quality? And it's a gold standard. You know, how do we measure up? You know, not everybody's going to score 100 on each one of these 10 essential services. So where are we strong and where are we weak, and how can we identify that? So we think that's an excellent tool. So we have just launched a performance standards grant program for states who might want to take this on for their state in terms of getting ready. And we have applications in and moving ahead with that. We're part of the many partner association peer assistance network, where we're trying to get peer-to-peer help on how to use these tools and make it happen. We provide technical assistance to any user who wants to request it from us in terms of how do we set up the process, how should we do our measurement step on this, and then certainly the Performance Standards Partnership provides annual training as well as webinars and the like to assist you in this effort. So there's something going on here. If you haven't plugged in, loop in around on this and give it a second look. Now this one is pretty exciting that CDC has undertaken, portfolio management. It's actually moved from a project to a program within the Office of the Chief of Public Health Practice. If you know Mike Sage, he has sort of nursed this project along, and now he will be in that office with Dennis and others to make this program run. So the original idea, the launching idea, was to assign the senior management official, a SMO, to a show. Bring him onto the show, which is the state health officer executive team. And so that model has really worked well in terms of coordination of programs and the like. But it's really been driven by trying to bring the health goals management approach that CDC has undertaken into state programs bringing CDC funds. How's that alignment working? How is that partnership working? And then certainly the SMO has been in the state to help define needs for the CDC field staff. You may, in your state agency, have these field staff assigned who are special designees, and so they've sort of been out there on their own on many respects. But let's talk really how that relates to state public health in a unique way. I think the expansion models are really pretty appealing if they're considering, and those would be regional models, for instance, where a SMO would be shared among a number of states. There might be sort of a population floor you would think about what that network of states might be. It might be the regions, you know, 5, 9, 10, however those regions might play out. Those are expansion models. I think there's other sector SMOs being considered for academia, not-for-profit kind of special projects, but I think that the real strength of it has been it's linked to the governmental system of alignment with locals and states. The demonstration project angle is the one I think is really appealing for us to think about in state public health. This is where the two models I can refer to, integrated chronic disease and integrated HIV-STD programs. I mean, that almost sounds so beautiful from a common sense perspective. You just go, that already feels good just coming out the door. But the devil's in the details when we talk about a program like this. And so we have these categorical interests that have really sustained CDC's effort to keep its funding going, and how do you translate that categorical interest into the kind of thing we, as a state and a local, know is the behaviors are the same, you know? The behaviors, no matter what the disease, are the same. So the integrated model is going in two phases right now from the chronic disease perspective. The first phase, you'll hear about soon, is a demonstration project of a few states where they don't change the appropriation angle or the funding stream angle, but they change the work plan. So the work plan becomes a renegotiated agreement between CDC and the state partner, and how we're going to sort of pull this thing together for a change, you know, and not be so, you know, diabetes, cancer, heart, you know, but hey, let's work a little bit across the board. What are the symmetries and the linkages we can make there? So that's a really cool demonstration project that's coming. I think in 2009, you're going to see the guidance around three programs, tobacco, diabetes, and BRFSS, really become this integrated approach. So stay tuned to this concept of integrated projects within the portfolio management approach. It's really pretty exciting. There's a third example, but it's almost unique in its format, and that's a Pacific Islands kind of approach to try to provide some assistance to those territories and freely associated states in a more meaningful way. The states do have some obligation, but that's really kind of cool. So what are the improvements that are driving this from a state perspective? come on, we need improved business practices. We don't need to do 32 agreements. We can do one and kind of pull this together, you know, another commonsensical relief feeling. Interagency collaboration, you know, within CDC, but couldn't we even think between CDC and HRSA as we think of this down the road? How remarkable would that be? And then this idea of joint policy development and case building. So it's really exciting to think about the state of state public health having an integration opportunity as we're on this brink of risk. So the other thing we're interested in is this sort of core definition of state public health. You know, if you've been to one state health department, you've been to one state health department. It's not a marketing message. A marketing message is, this is what state public health is, and this is what we're trying to accomplish, no matter where you are as a citizen in this country. So we're really trying to drive towards that interest. So we're trying to promote an analysis of the relationship between these structures and health outcomes. That's an ideal kind of goal. But to provide some evidence for policy decisions, where do we need to make investments that will really be the best ones to make? Assure consistent messages across states as we work with our legislators and our citizens. Enhance public support for state public health survey. If you remember a few years ago, Research America did some work on what would you support, and public health came right up to the top when they said, what kind of protections do I want in my community? We haven't yet converted that into a good message. And then how do we deliver that message? So we have this broad project underway that's pretty exciting. And the first part of that is to build a data set to gain this greater understanding of function and structure of state public health. So that survey is in the field now. If you're in a state health agency, get it in. We'll be thrilled, and we'll work with you. But out of that is going to come this description of state public health that really begins to talk about the commonalities and give scope and framework to this set of roles we know that we all have, and that's oversight, that we have regulatory, that we have leadership, that we have policy, and how that translates into product and action. We also want to get to the point of marketing state public health. We're going to do a state description that's sort of public health centric, but one that you wouldn't even recognize that would be citizen centric for your state. That's a message for state public health that really tries to get at the kinds of things a citizen would think about, you know, that I can walk to school or that I have safe X, Y, or Z. So think about that twist and how you can help us with that. And certainly we want to align, use this data to help define this set of what are the standards. You know, here's what's going on. We could say this standard is in the ballpark. Whatever one you're thinking of, this one doesn't seem to be in the ballpark based on our understanding of state public health. So it gives us a framework, much like the operational definition that NACHO had done from their side of the story. So the State Public Health Survey is to strengthen practice for our members, to build an advocacy source of material, and to lead this idea of state-based accreditation standards and measures. It's also going to link to something we want to do long-term, which is to build a state-based public health information and analysis system. If any of you do MCH work, you know that the Title V information system, when you do your application, you dump all this information into this big data system. But it really provides a remarkable tool. The statistics on the use of that tool are the most frequent users of it are Congress. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a tool like that for state public health where Congress wanted to tap into and find out what's going on in state public health? So I think there's some models out there about relational databases and access and the like. And while now we're building it from our perspective, collecting it and dumping it in the future, wouldn't it be nice if states just dumped it in and had it ongoing? And it's much more dynamic and owned, you know, in that sense. So we have a vision for that as we think about it. What are the kinds of questions you would want to ask? What are the commonalities? What are the uniquenesses? What functions of state public health agency are not shared by anybody else? Those nursing home surveys, perfect example. What do we look like across the country? And what's the size across the country? What's the metric? You know, what's the value of personnel, the citizen, to dollars, to citizen, that we really think ought to be the baseline where we are now, but how do we then frame it to where we need to be? You know, what would that gap look like, and how would we define it? But if we don't have any data, we can't talk about it. So this is just like one two-by-two table I tried to throw up here as an example. What would be the characteristics in each one of those cells that we could begin to sort out, you know, the differences, and to be able to see things? Here's the lesser framework. Here's the common framework. And then where am I, South Carolina or Ohio or wherever I am in this matrix, you know, this two-by-two conceptualization and framework. So just wanted to sort of give you a taste of the kinds of results we'll be looking at. So it's an online survey. We've worked with Custom Insight. It really allows you to sort of send it out to your colleagues and bring it back in and put it all together again. Our requested completion date was October 26th, but alas, we had the proverbial extension, so that's gone until this Friday. I'm guessing we may have a lingering few after that. But we are looking forward to having some kind of preliminary results before the holidays or the end of the year. So wish us luck in that respect. So that's our survey story. So what's the idea? Informing the performance agenda. All these things tie together to make a difference. And so we think the survey, the performance standards, and portfolio management are the quality improvement building block opportunities. You know, grab a hold of that, pay attention to that, make a difference. And then we think the performance standards product is quite complementary, sort of the underlying kind of thing about the system that allows for self-study, for accreditation, evidence of external system relationships and partnerships. It helps begin build that culture of performance improvement in your state already with this existing tool, and certainly to assess and strengthen your essential services framework. So that's sort of the gist of what I wanted to talk about today, and I wanted to sort of set that stage. We do have plenty of time for conversation, and I welcome that, but I would like to take a moment to thank a couple of people. I'd like to thank Jennifer Jimenez and Lindsay Caldwell and Melissa Lewis from ASTO, who really helped with this. I see Ellen here from ASTO. I'd like to welcome her, and Jessica from NATO. So for all of you, for your help and support, they helped make this happen. So thank you again.